Blog Talk Radio.
I'm healed by the power of His word. I'm healed by the power of His word. Over every situation, I'm healed by the power. I'm healed, yes I am, by the power. Speak to your situation, speak to your circumstance, and declare it. Say the prophet said, I'm healed by the power. The attitude shifts tonight. Be healed. Hallelujah. Disenfranchised. Be healed. Now think about that loved one and you say to that situation, be healed by the power. Come on, you declare it in your situation. One more time, everybody. One more time. Everybody, come on.
Healed by the power of His word.
By the power. I'm healed, yes I am. By the power. Speak to your situation. Speak to your circumstance and declare it. Say the prophet said, I'm healed by the power. The attitude shifts tonight. Be healed. Hallelujah. Disenfranchised. Be healed. Now think about that loved one and you say to that situation, be healed by the power. Come on, you declare it in your situation. One more time, everybody. One more time. Everybody, come on.
Amen. I just had to play that one more time. Just one more time. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we are either speaking death to our situations and to the circumstances in our lives, or we are speaking life to those situations. So when the song was saying, I'm healed by the power of his word, it is the word of God that I must speak and declare in my situation and believe in my heart to see change take place. And truly, we are blessed this morning. I want to welcome you to Life Empowering Words, Faith for the Week. It is such a pleasure to be back again for another week. I give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything that is within my life, the good and the bad, the good and the bad that is within me, for he is constantly working on me. I like to say that I'm a practicing Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian, man, but I'm a practicing Christian because I'm always growing, always working at understanding and knowing the Lord, my God, all the more, and having his word, his spirit, put a change in my heart. We welcome you this morning. For those that want to call in and either speak with us or ask a question or give a prayer request or a testimony, please, please feel free. The number is 602-753-1822. Again, that's 602-753-1822. We truly thank the Lord and give him praise for this morning. I'm excited about this morning. There's a word in my heart and that I want to share with you and encourage you for this week. First off, I just feel like having a word of prayer. Let's just have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, blessed day. I thank you, Lord, for this 25th day of February. This 25th day of February in the year 2015. For this is a day that you, Almighty God, have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I ask, oh Lord God, now that you would just bless every listener that is listening live, every listener that will listen later as they play the webcast of this broadcast. And I just thank you, Lord. I ask your blessing upon this station, Father, its producer, and all the people involved in it. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your glory in my life and the lives of your people. Now, God, have your way. Lead us, guide us, encourage us, and strengthen us that we may glorify you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, my gosh. It has been a wonderful start to a week. A wonderful start, and I know a lot of people are dealing with different things. My daughter, whom I love, has the flu, and she's struggling through that, and other people that I know are going through different things, and even myself. But yet it is a wonderful week because I know God is in control. Somehow, some way, he's in control, and he's going to lead us and guide us through it all. Today, though, I want to deal with a topic that I call a desire for more. A desire for more. And there, in life, there has to be a desire for more than to simply get by, than to just get by. You hear some people say, I'm just trying to make it through the day. And I understand that. Believe me, you know, sometimes it's that kind of day where you're just trying to get through the day, you know. But in life in general, there has to be a desire for more than to just get by. A desire for more of the heart, the will, and the presence of God in one's life. For it's that presence of God, being in God's presence, that causes change to take place. So we cannot have a status quo attitude or a oh well attitude. Well, this is good enough. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for everything. I'm even thankful for the life that I have in Christ, but I'm not satisfied. The more that we know of the Lord God Almighty in an intimate way, the more we are at peace in the situations of life and the greater the victory through our faith. It's time to get past just knowledge of God and get to the place of intimacy with God that causes a change in everyday life. So I want to deal with that a little bit today, a desire for more. Real quick, though, I want to play this song that's been in my heart most of the morning called No Greater Love. What is it that causes me to desire, to want to desire more of God? What is it that causes me to want to desire more of His will, more of His understanding, more of His heart? It's understanding that there is no greater love than the love of God. So we're going to hear this real quick, and then we're going to come back and get into this, a desire for more. If you feel like it, call somebody and give them the phone number to call into or encourage them to listen, as I know it will bless their heart. Again, at 602-753-1822. Good morning, good morning, good morning from Reverend Clark. Here it is, No Greater Love. Amen, amen. It is the love of God. The love of God that is so wonderful and so great in my life, in your life. And that is why we desire more of him, because of his love for us. I thank God that his word says that you didn't choose me, but I chose you before the very foundation of the world. That means even before the world was created, even before I was in my mother's womb, God knew me and God knew you. A desire for more is what I want to deal with today and look at today. Understand that a desire for more is this. The more I know of God, and I'm not talking simply biblical knowledge. I'm not talking simply knowing simply what the word says. But I'm talking about a closer relationship. The more I know of God, the closer the relationship I have with the Lord, the more at peace I am, and the greater or stronger is my faith in him and his love for me. Okay, that's based on a relationship, not just on the knowledge of knowing simply what the word says. Don't get me wrong now. Please don't get me wrong. Biblical knowledge is important, to know the word, to know what the word says. Absolutely. Make no mistake. It's how we learn. It's how we receive instruction and know of God's goodness and promise in our lives. We must know and read the word of God. We must pray to have an understanding of God's word. But relationship brings closeness. Relationship brings understanding. Relationship brings trust. Relationship develops character and brings forth a heart change, which causes my heart to change, which causes my very being to change. Relationship gives that assurance that allows you to have peace in storms and trials. Relationship, not just simply knowing about God or simply being able to quote or recite the word, but relationship brings that closeness with God and with people as they see your heart of love that God has developed in you. Amen. Relationship causes love to grow in your heart, not just for God, but for others. What good is it for me to love God, but who I can't see, but can't love my brother or those that are closest to me, who I see every day? Amen. Relationship causes love. I'm going to say that again. Relationship causes love to grow in your heart, not just for God, but for others. Relationship, it is relationship with God and relationship between God and I that brings true forgiveness. That brings true forgiveness, that also brings about a change of heart. You can't have true forgiveness without a change of heart. This is the difference in simply having biblical knowledge, but no continual growing relationship. It's like marriage. You can be married 20, 30, 40 years, but somewhere along the way, you stop desiring to know your spouse intimately, to know them more of that person, to be closer to that person, to have a greater relationship with that person. So now you're just going through the acts of marriage. Some people go through the acts of Christianity. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they don't love God, but they become satisfied where they are, and they've lost that desire, that hunger for the more of God. We can't lose that. We constantly have to have that desire for the more. Many people have great biblical knowledge, but not a real intimate relationship with God, to where they understand his Holy Spirit, that they flow in his spirit. They allow the Spirit of God to guide them, to lead them, to change their heart, to melt away the hardness or the bitterness. They have great biblical knowledge, but not a real intimate relationship with God. Some have great wisdom in knowing what the word says, but no real understanding of the word and how it applies in their life and the change it should bring forth from a relationship with Christ. There ought to be a change in heart, a change in life, a change in attitude, out of a growing relationship with God that is evident in your life, evident with your coworkers, evident in your marriage, evident in your home, evident in how you relate with others. My God, my God. So some have great wisdom in knowing what the word says, but no real understanding of the word and how it applies to their life and the changes should bring forth. They know the letter of the word, but don't see themselves in and through the word. That's important. They know the letter of the word, but they don't see themselves in and through the word. That only comes from the relationship with God that constantly desires more. James 1 and 22 through 24 says, do not merely listen to the word, and by doing so, deceive yourselves, but to be a doer of the word, to do what the word says. It says, anyone who listens to the word, but does not do it, or if I may paraphrase, but does not have a heart change that causes them to act upon that word, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he was like, or what he looks like, or who he was. See, the word, through a relationship with God, should bring about a change that would cause you to be a doer of that word, and in acting upon that word, it brings about change. To have true forgiveness, I have to act in forgiveness. I can't just pray for it. I have to act in it. To have the love of God expressed in my heart, I can't just read about God's love. I have to pray about that love and then act in love. And as I act in love, as I act upon the word, and continually talking with God, praying with God, desiring more of God, it begins to develop a change in my heart. So now I'm not just hearing the word or reading the word or listening to it, but now I'm actively pursuing God and pursuing acting upon his word that brings about change. And that's why it says you can't just hear it, but you have to be a doer. And that doing comes from a relationship with God. What is it that makes a person want, a parent want to do for their children? It's the love they have for their children and relationship that they have with their children as it's built over the years and over the years. My children are grown. My son and my daughter are 27 and 26, or 25 and 26. And we have a relationship built over the years. It's the same with God. We build a relationship, but it's from constantly wanting to know the more. My God, and it's that way in the word. Again, this is the difference between having simply biblical knowledge or having a continual growing relationship. One of the things about desiring the more of God in an intimate relationship is that it not only brings forth revelation about God, but it brings, it brings revelation about self. My God, here we go. It brings revelation about self. I'm going to say that again. One of the things about desiring the more of God in an intimate relationship is that it not only brings forth revelation about God, but it will also bring revelation about self. Goes back to that looking at oneself in the mirror. There was a pastor that I used to hang around and know, and we're still in contact, but he used to always say, the hardest thing in the world is to look at self, is to be willing to look at self. Amen. In an honest way. Well, see, when you desire the more of God in an intimate relationship, the closer I get to God, the more I get to God's character, to God's way of loving, to God's way of thinking, to God's way of doing things. It brings forth revelation about myself in areas that I need to grow, that I need to change, that I need to pray about and ask God to help develop within me that I can be more like him. You see, revelation is a tricky thing because it takes away a person's ability to claim ignorance. That's right. As long as I don't know a truth about a thing, I can claim ignorance. What I didn't know, what I don't know. But once you get revelation about a thing, it takes away the ability to claim ignorance. As long as I don't know the truth about my own heart through revelation of God, I can claim ignorance. But one definition of ignorance is to ignore truth. Truth about God and truth about oneself. You see, as long without an intimate relationship, I'm unwilling to look at truth about self. Isn't it funny how sometimes people can see something about everybody else, but they can't see something about self? See, Rand Clark, I, Foster, have to be willing to see self. And I get that through a desire for the more of God. Lord, open my eyes to see. David prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Open my eyes that I can see me, that I can be see me as you see me and become more like you. Romans 10, 1 and 3 expresses this. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. But then he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal for God, but no real understanding of his righteousness, of his truth, of his love. They have a zeal for God. You know, it's like someone who's going to church and doing all the right things and making all the right moves, but no real understanding of the heart change that God is desiring. And he says, so for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant meaning to ignore truth, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, in other words, ignoring God's truth and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, have not submitted to the right standing and the truth of God's righteousness. See, we can't just have a zeal for God, but we have to have a zeal for the more, the intimacy, the relationship with God. Some have a zeal for God, but don't really know him or his righteousness, don't really know him or his ways, have no change of heart. A desire for more means that I want to know and walk in his righteousness and right ways, his right standing. A desire for more means that I want to know and walk in his righteousness and right ways. That means, in a sense, I want to love his way. I want to forgive his way. I want to act his way through faith in Christ, be in right standing with him, constantly growing so that his love and life reflects through me. His love and life ought to reflect through me in my relationships. It ought to reflect through me in how I deal with other people. It ought to reflect through me in how I deal with my children, how I deal with my spouse. It ought to reflect through me even in how I deal with those who are against me. Out of a desire to know the heart of God and a desire to understand and grow in the love of God, a closer and more of a loving relationship with God comes forth. See, God says, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near or nigh to you. That means we have to put forth an effort. We have to desire to know the heart of God, desire the more of God, to understand and grow in the love of God, to build a closer and more loving relationship. And when we do that, the more of God comes forth from us. Out of a relationship of intimacy with God, my love changes. Out of a relationship of intimacy with God, my heart changes. My desires change, not just for God, but even for those around me. Out of a relationship of intimacy, my understanding is enlarged, not just my understanding of the word, but even to help me understand others, to have a greater understanding with others. My God, out of that relationship of intimacy, my earthly relationships are more fruitful. My desire for more is constantly fueled, and growth is constant and continual. is never ending. This is a desire for more. We must have a desire for more. A desire for more goes beyond just knowing something about a person. Understand, I can read a bio about a person. I can read the history of a person and know something about. And once I've done that, I now know something about that person. But that doesn't mean that we have a relationship. It doesn't mean that I understand their heart. It doesn't mean that I understand what makes them tick. It doesn't mean that I feel what they're going through, what their feeling is. Because I don't have an intimate relationship with them. I just have some knowledge of them. That doesn't mean that we have a relationship that is growing or thriving or evolving simply because I know their bio or I know something about them. See, we have to look at our earthly relationships. For those who are married, look at your marital relationship. Is it growing? Is it thriving? Is it evolving? Look at your co-worker relationships. Are they growing? Are they thriving? Is your relationship with God causing growth in your earthly relationships, especially but not limited to those closest to you? We're going to take a look at a couple of people in the Word of God that had that desire for more. Though they had achieved great things by the hand of God, though they would seem to have wonderful relationships, not only with God, but with people, they still had that desire for more. We're going to take a look at that and just ask God to show us his heart, his will. I want to know his heart. I want to know his will. I want to know a greater relationship that I may grow closer to him. We're going to hear a song real quick called One Pure and Holy Passion. I want to have a pure and holy passion that can only come from God. Let me find that.
I need somebody who still believes God to open up your mouth and just sing unto the Lord a new song tonight.
Yeah.
Sing unto the Lord a new song.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Somebody sing unto the Lord a new song tonight. Come on. Sing unto the Lord a new song.
We need your glory, yeah. Lord.
Somebody sing unto the Lord a new
we
song.
Need your glory.
Give me one magnificent obsession.
Give me one.
my God, successful in my relationships, successful in my operations, successful in my job. Why? Because my pursuit is to be in God's presence, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord in his creation, in his character, in his heart, in his love. And to inquire in his temple that I may constantly be in communication with him. So he said, one thing have I desired. My God, that one thing. And in that, if you will, real quick, look over to Psalm 16 and 11. Psalm 16 and 11. Oh, it's so good, I thank you, Lord. In Psalm 16 and 11, he says, you will show me the path of life, where in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. See, I've got to get into the presence of God. I have to have a desire for the more of God. Why? Because it is in the more of God that I can understand the path of life, that he can show me the path that I am to take, that he can show me, amen, the abundant life, the fulfillment, the delight, and the joy that I seek. Because abundant life, fulfillment, delight, and joy are found in the presence of the Lord. That's what it says in Psalm 16 and 11. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. My God, is that not a wonderful thing to have? You see, an intimate personal relationship with God affects permanent change in my life. You see, I have to read the word to know what God's word says. But it's out of an intimate relationship with God that my heart has changed. It's out of getting into his presence that my heart has changed. What is getting into his presence is making time for God. In a honest and truthful way, that means making time for God. Lord, I thank you for my life. I thank you, Lord, because you are the Lord God Almighty. You are the Lord God of love. You are the Lord God that created me and knows me. Now, Lord, I need you to create change in me, Lord, because I want to be like you. I want to love like you love. I want to act like you act. And understand that when you get to that place, though, that when you pray this, okay, change is going to take place, but it's going to bring forth revelation. Well, first, God is going to show you areas that need to be prayed about, that need to be changed, that need to be grown, that we can be drawn closer to him. See, in intimate personal relationship with him, hallelujah, affects permanent change in my life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Passionate, life-changing devotion bursts forth in our lives from one primary source, and that's consistently being in the presence of God. That don't mean that you're on your knees all day, every day praying. No, because you have work, you have children, you have other responsibilities. But it means that, Lord, my mind is on you, my thoughts are on you. Lord, I desire. And when you set aside that time to get in God's presence, you're honest about self and desiring to be in the atmosphere of Christ, in the love of God. See, when I read the word, something about the word ought to cause me to pray about God's will in my life. When I read the word, something ought to prick me to pray about and see changes that need to take place in me, that I can be closer to him and drawn closer to him. If we will look at Psalm 21 and 21 real quick. Psalm 21, we're still dealing with David. And when he prayed, Lord, one thing that I desire, that will I seek. But in Psalm 21 and verse 7, I'm sorry, Psalm 21 verses 1 through 7, he says, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord. And in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. For you have made him most blessed forever. Now watch this. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. See, all of the things that the king needed were in the presence of God. That caused his very life, his very heart to be changed. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. See, we have to follow David's example by recognizing that it is in God's presence that we find grace. It's in God's presence that we find honor. It's in God's presence that we find mercy. It's in God's presence that we begin to understand his love and have our hearts changed to love in the manner that he loves. To walk in the forgiveness that he's called us to walk in. It's in his presence that we find great joy and gladness. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. In Psalm 25, verse 4, he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. You have to work to be taught. We have to want to learn. We have to want to be taught what God's heart is. We have to want to be shown areas that we can grow in. And that's not always a pleasant thing. Oh, my God. In 2007, I went through a four-year period of where I had to really get honest and start seeking God. There's some changes that need to take place in my life, and they weren't easy changes to see, but there were changes that needed to take place. And Lord, I need you to change some things in my character, change some things in my attitude, change some things in the way I love, change some things in my disposition. And I begin to really, God took me to a place where I begin to really desire to see the truth of myself and the areas that needed to be changed. Lord, show me your ways, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And see, this is one thing that was about David. And so we must be a people that desires more of God, to be in his presence as David prayed. But I want to show you one more man, if I will, one more person. And we have been blessed to be able to have a little more time today. I know we're already over our hour, but God has blessed us, given us favor, and we've been allotted more time today. So today we're going to use this time. Not much longer. But the other one that I want to look at real quick is Moses. If you would, look in the book of Exodus with me, in the book of Exodus. Now, the thing that Moses was seeking in his desire for more, yes, it was the presence of God, but it was a little bit different. And, oh, my God, it was a wonderful and amazing to behold what Moses was seeking. I thank the Lord. In Exodus, the 33rd chapter, amen, we're going to look real quick at verses 1 through 3 just to kind of get an idea of where they are. Moses and the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they're in the desert, and it's time for them to finally cross over into the promise that God has for them. God is faithful to the things that he has promised you. So here they are at the place where it's time for them to cross over into the promise. But they had somewhat angered the Lord. And in verse 33, 1 through 3, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite. In other words, I'm going to drive out all your enemies. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will go up, for I will not go up in your midst. Now, jump over real quick, if you will, to the 12th verse. So here God says, I'm going to give you what I promised you. but I'm not going to go with you, because he was angry. But in verse 12, Moses begins to pray. And he says to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. So Moses prayed, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. Isn't that the very thing David prayed? Show me your way. He says, show me now your way that I may know you, my God, the desire for more. Here was a man that even God said, I speak with Moses mouth to mouth. Moses, if you notice, he had one of the greatest relationships with God I've ever read about. God would just talk with Moses and mouth to mouth and ear to ear. Did wonderful, wonderful miracles through the hand of Moses. One of the greatest relationships I've ever read about anywhere. And yet here he was saying, but Lord, show, he was continually saying, show me your way. Why? That I may know you. I don't just want to know what you want me to do. I want to know you. I don't just want to know which way you want me to go. I want to know you. Because in knowing you, I become better to lead your people. I become a better leader, would be Moses' thought. I become a better leader. I become a better husband to his wife and a father to his children. If for me, the greater I know God, then the better husband I become, then the better father I become, the better leader I become of Expecting Faith World Ministries and whatever else God has in store. So he said, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation as your people. And he said, God said, my presence will go with you. Now watch this, and I will give you rest. See, in God's presence is rest. It's what I talked about earlier, is rest, is peace. Then he said to him, Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, I don't care how great the promise is, Lord, if you ain't going out, I don't want to go. If you're not with me, I don't want to do it. I can't be satisfied where I am in any area of my life, starting first and foremost with my relationship with Christ. I can't be satisfied. I have to have the more. And in the more of God, it feels a hunger in me to do the more in every other area. Why? That he may get the glory. The better husband I am, the more glory God gets out of my life. The more I know of God, the better leader I am, and the better the people that work with Expectant Faith grow in their gifts and callings and move out in the will of God. The more God's presence is with me, huh? Oh my gosh. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up. I don't want to go. Now, but here was the thing. So here he prays and says, God, if you don't go, I don't want to go. God says, fine, I'll go. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Huh? I'm going to give you all that I promised you. I'm going to give you the new land that I promised you. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to destroy your enemies for you. So all these things God says he'll do. But even that, my Lord, even that wasn't enough. Because then Moses prayed this, my God, in verse 18. He said, Lord, in verse 17, the Lord says to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. He says, Moses, I know you by name. I'm so proud of you. You found grace in my sight. I'm going to do everything that you asked me and that I have told you I would do. Many people would have just said, amen, praise you, Lord, and I'm not mad at you. But Moses then said, please show me your glory. My God, he still had a desire for more, to have that closer relationship with Christ, to have that closer relationship with God, to know the more of him intimately and personally, because there were still issues in him that needed to be dealt with and changed, that he could walk all the more close with God and still have that glory reflect in the lives of those around him. Moses' passionate plea to see God's glory is one of the most intimate encounters between God and man ever recorded. His request is not for a display of God's power, of a greaterness of God's power. It was not out of a greed for more stuff. Out of everything God said that he would do and give him, Moses' request wasn't for a greed out of more stuff, but it was a desire for more of God himself. His request was not a display of God's power or even the warmth. He wanted, he hungered for something more. Moses wanted an intimate knowledge of God himself. He wanted to understand and know God's character. That character would be reflected in his life. My God. He wanted to know the fullness of God's character. The God who is compassionate and gracious and loving. The God who is merciful and forgiving. The God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The God said greater things than thee, who said greater things than thee shall you do. The God who said, it is my will to prosper you and keep you in health. The God who said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to give you hope and a purpose. I want to know the character of the God who looks upon me, though I have seen and fallen short of his glory, but said, I created you in my image and in my likeness. See, it's in that place that we become more like God. It's the desire for the more of God that my character and my heart and my love are changed. And that causes change in my everyday life. That causes change in my relationships. That causes change that encourages and inspires and uplifts others. My God, my God. I thank God for what he is showing, what he is teaching. Real quick, we're going to play one song and we're going to come back and close. But we're going to play this song, Let the Rain of Your Presence. Let the Rain of Your Presence. See, we have to want God's presence to rain upon us, to fall upon us, to consume us to the point where it causes change in our lives, where we are willing to see the need for change. And of course, with God, to be as one that looks in the mirror and says, God, show me your way. Let the rain of your presence.
Say, let the rain of your presence fall on me. Come on, clap your hands in the presence of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands in the presence of the Lord. Come on. Fresh. lift those hands and ask the Lord, say, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Amen. Real quick, we're going to get ready to close. But I want to look at one thing real quick to show you something from the Lord in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Starting at verse 12, it says this. We're going to go through to verse 16 because I want you to grab a hold of this. This will be the faith for the week. Life empowering words, faith for the week. Take this with you for the week and see God's promise that he is giving you right here. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Notice that now. He said, love one another as I have loved you. That means we have to love one another just like Christ loves us. Christ loves us unconditionally. Christ loves us in spite of us. Christ loves us even in our mess. Christ loves us no matter what. And we have to love each other like that. It means we can't hold grudges. We can't walk around with unforgiveness. We can't love in a manner that has limitations. Now understand that is what getting into God's presence does. It helps us love that way. As we pray prayers concerning the issues that God brings to our hearts and lives, that draw us closer to him, then he works it out through us. But again, first we have to be willing to be honest with ourselves and with God. But he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now right here, he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. See, there's a difference in friends and associates. I tell folk all the time, I have a lot of associates, but I can count my friends on one hand. You know, he says, so even Christ is saying, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. For all the things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That means we have to seek him. We have to get into his presence to know the heart and the will of God, and for our hearts to be changed like God, that we resemble Christ in our relationships. Amen. But then he says this in verse 16. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Now here's the problem. I didn't just choose you for the sake of choosing you, because I had nothing better to do. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. My God, John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. In order to walk in this, we have to have a desire for the more of God's heart, the more of God's will, the more of God's character, the more of God's presence. Like Moses, Lord, that I may behold your glory, that I can know your character intimately, and be changed by that character, that my character would resemble your character. That I can love as he commanded me. That I can love others just like he loves me. And husbands can love their wives, and wives can love their husbands just like Christ loves them. No hindrances, no stipulations. Co-workers and different people, that we can intercede and pray for folk out of a pureness and trueness in love. I thank you for this time, and I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you would especially take John 15, verses 12 through 17 with you for the rest of this week. That's Job 15, verses 12 through 17 for the rest of this week. Take that as your encouragement. Take that as the life-empowering word for the week. And have a desire for more. A desire for more. We have to constantly be desiring to be close to the Lord, not just to feel the warmth of His presence, but to know the depth of His love and be changed by that in our lives. I want to have a continual growth, a continual growing in my life. I don't ever want to be satisfied. Not with my relationship with Christ, not with my relationships in my personal life, not with my relationship in my home, not with my relationship in ministry. I don't ever want to be satisfied. I want to have a continual growing in me from God. Continually show me your ways. Continually shape my heart and my love. Continually that I can be in your presence. We have to be a people who are full of the passion of God. We have to be a people who have a desire for the more, that He may get the glory out of our lives, out of our relationships, and that others would be encouraged. God bless you. God love you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your truth. Now, Lord, by your Spirit, fill us not just to have biblical knowledge, but to have an understanding and a desire for the more of your heart, of your love, of your will. I ask you to bless everyone that hears and listens to this program. Bless the sponsors, Father, who sponsored. Bless the producer. I honor you and give you glory, Father, right now. We're going to play this last song called Forever Chasing After You, Forever Chasing After God. And after that song, we just say goodbye until next week, and God bless you. Oh, Remind people, if you have prayer requests, please go to expectantfaith.org to write your prayer request. We have intercessors that are waiting to pray for you and would love to pray for you. So please go to expectantfaith.org or to order the book Everyday Faith, Faith for the Daily Walk of Life. You can go to expectantfaith.org or to Barnes & Noble's website or Amazon.com. Give him the glory, but that our lives will continually be growing, continually be evolving, continually be changing, that we would represent his love, his character in our everyday lives and in our relationships that encourage and inspire others. I give God praise. I thank you for listening. I pray that you will share this radio program with your friends and coworkers and others. Please, again, feel free to send your prayer requests or praise reports to expectantfaith.org on our website. There's also on the media page CDs to encourage you, to lift you, to order if you feel the need. We bless you. We praise God for you, and we thank you. Have a wonderful week. and meditate upon the word through the week, that it would truly be empowering to your life for the week. God bless you. God love you. We love you. And we will see you and talk with you next week. Amen. God bless you.